If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to John chapter 10 today. John chapter 10, the title of the message is The Door to Eternal Life. Doors are always around us. Some of us have literal doors. Some of us have other doors that are just right in front of us. We have a number of doors in our homes. Many of you left from the front door or the back door or the middle door or whatever door you came from in order to get to church here. You probably opened a car door in order to get here. When you got here, you opened your car door again. And then when you came in the front doors, either you opened the door or somebody opened the door for you. We have doors in our kitchens. We have doors, we have cabinet doors in our kitchens. We have doors to laundry rooms. We have doors to garages. We have doors to sheds. We have doors, or if you want to say gates, to our fences in our backyards. We have doors to bedrooms. We have patio doors, French doors, doggy doors. How many of you have doggy doors? How many of you crawl? No, I don't want to know who crawled through a doggy door. We have wood doors. We have metal doors. We have half doors. We have glass doors. We have doors with windows. We have doors at your office building. There are doors all over. I have some pictures of some doors, I believe. Here are some doors. Doors. Oh, I like that. Is that a refrigerator door? I like that one. And maybe not. Maybe it's a safe. That's a big door. There we go. All kinds of doors that we have. What do doors do for us? They close something in or they close something out. They open something up. Doors slam. I hope none of you have slammed your door in recent days. Doors are shut very quietly at time in the morning. It serves as an entrance. It serves as a way of passage. If we didn't have doors, we would lose our items. We would not be able to keep pests out. Have you ever had a bird caught in your house? Your door was open and a bird flew in? Has anybody ever had a bird in your house? Yeah. How do you get the thing out? You don't leave the door closed. You open it up and like, get out, get out, get out. You've had maybe a varmint or some kind of thing in your garage. How many of you had something in your garage? And you're like, get out of my garage. And you open the door. You don't shut the door. You open it up and say, get out of here. You hope it's not a skunk. If it's a skunk, that's not a good thing. That's why we close our garage doors in the evening. Maybe you don't have any skunk problems. But you don't want something coming in. None of us have experienced this in recent days, and you're very thankful for this. But think of leaving your front door open on a cold winter night. What's going to happen? You're going to have a pile of snow inside your house instead of on the outside of your house. We don't want that. We don't want snow on the inside. Jesus identifies himself as the door of the sheep in this text. I asked the question, have you entered through the door of Jesus, and where is he leading you to? What door might he be opening for you, and what door might he be closing? If you would join me in John chapter 10, it's on the Bible in front of you in a chair rack on page 896. I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. Here's what it says. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The first thing I want you to see is this. The shepherd must enter by the door. The shepherd must enter by the door. In order to enter through the door has to be in front of you. I can't enter the door of your house right now because I'm not at your house. I can enter this door because I am here, but not your house. Why does a shepherd need to enter through the door? He enters through the door to show us the way. Several of us have been door openers for others. We've opened the door for people. We say, here, let me open the door for you. Some of you don't do that. Some of you don't even worry about a door. You just, oh, there's somebody behind me. It's always interesting when I walk behind somebody. I'm like, didn't they know I was here? Donk, and I run into, well, I don't run into because I watch for the door. But some of you are conscientious and you look for others. Jesus did the same way. He opened the door for us. If you've been a parent, and you are a parent, you've done some pretty weird things for your kids at times because you have opened the door for them. Let me give you an example. Some of you have said, here, eat this. You've opened the door for them because they look at the food and they're like, I don't have any clue what that is. And you're like, oh, daddy will eat it, so you'll eat it too. And sometimes our kids say no still to that. But we try to get them to go because we walk through the door first, if you will. Some of you have maybe you went through a doggy door to have your kid go through a doggy door, or you have a tunnel of some kind. You're like, here, crawl through this tunnel. And so here you are as a 50-year-old man or as a 62-year-old grandma traveling through some weird tunnel because you're trying to help your grandchild or your kid go through the door. Jesus went through the door of sin for us to achieve and to have eternal life. The thief sneaks in and causes death. The enemy, our adversary, hear me in this. The adversary did not go through the door. He didn't come down as a man and come through the door in order for us to get to heaven. Jesus was the one that came through the door for us. In verse 1 and verse 7 of this passage, you must notice the words that Jesus uses in the Old King James. If you have that, it would have been verily, verily. In the ESV that I use, truly, truly. He's saying, you need to pay attention to this. This is important. I am the door. Thieves get in other ways. The shepherd shows us the door. If you are trying to go somewhere spiritually, is Jesus leading you through that door? Jesus will lead you if you listen and if you answer. The second thing I want you to see is the sheep know the Father's voice. The sheep know the Father's voice. Yesterday we were doing some cleaning, and I asked Pastor Bradley to turn on the music throughout the sanctuary and throughout the building, and so we had KSLT on. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice that I knew. I was like, I know that voice. Clayton Butcher, who attends our church, does some audio books, and maybe you've heard his voice in recent days in a commercial. It's like, I know that voice. You know the voice of people. When you come, you hear me speak. You hear my voice. And if I'm struggling with my voice, it sounds different. Or if I can't talk very well, it sounds different. The sheep know the Father's voice. Any animal knows the master's voice. To the animal, it can prove calming. Many dog owners, maybe you're a dog owner, and you loudly tell your pet what to do. Sit down. Stay there. Or maybe you tell your pet, sit down. Stay right there. How is it a mother is at the playground, and there are tons of kids there, and a number of kids say mom, and the mom knows her child's voice. All the other kids are running around, but she hears mom, and she knows. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Why? Because the shepherd is with them. He is the calm reassurance and calm reassuring presence for them. One of the things I want you to hear today is this. Do you and I know the Father's voice? The Lord still speaks. Sometimes it's through an audible voice. Sometimes it's through a pastor like me, or on the radio, or on TV, or a friend. Sometimes it's through his word you're reading, and you're like, boom, that was for me. Are you able to discern the Father's voice? Oh, that we may be sheep that spend so much time with the shepherd that we will just know his voice. Can we still hear God's voice? I believe so. In the Old Testament, there is a story that's shared about a young boy. He wasn't very old at all. His name was Samuel. He was laying in bed, and all of a sudden he heard his name, Samuel. He's like, oh, Eli the priest is who he lived with. And so he went to find out from Eli, what do you need? And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So Samuel went back to bed, though I don't think he slept. And he heard the voice again, Samuel. And so he went running into Eli's room again. What do you need? Don't need anything. It wasn't me. Interestingly enough, some of you have pointed this out before. Some of you have thought of this. It took Eli three times to know it was God's voice, but he did recognize it was God's voice, and he finally told Eli on the third time, it's God speaking. Go back to bed and say, I'm your servant, please speak to me, or something like that. Do you know God's voice? Maybe that could be a goal of yours this week, this month. Maybe you could make it your goal in the month of July. God, would you give me a discerning and listening ear for your voice? I'll tell you when we want to hear God's voice. You know when that is? When we're going through a struggling time. Then for some reason, we get a little closer and we're like, God, please talk. And God says, well, I've been trying to talk to you for some time. And you're like, no, I need to know now because the deadline. Some of you are deadline people. God, tell me by Friday at 12 and we'll be all good. I'm good to go there. And God sometimes works in his own time. And he says, walk with me and hear my voice. Sometimes we look for the big things that we're trying to listen to God's voice and we miss some of those small things. Maybe pray something like this week. God, I want to know you and your voice. Help me to be patient and listen to you and watch and see what might happen. But when God speaks, do it. When God says, go back and open that door for that lady, do it. When God says, call that person, do it. When God says, get up a couple of moments early and spend more time with me, do it. Don't miss those times. When God says it, do it. The third thing I want you to see is the sheep follow the shepherd. The job of the shepherd was not the easiest. There were not fences, and so there was open fields. Thus, a shepherd always had to be on call. He had to be watchful for sheep. He had to be watchful of predators. Sheep, like us, are bound to wander. That's why we need a shepherd, a guide. The shepherd says it this way, calls his own sheep by their name. God knows your name, and he calls each of you by name. I am thankful for this, and I don't think that we comprehend and we really understand this. God knows your name. When other people don't know your name, God knows your name. The God of the universe, the God of all creation, knows your name. He knows more than just your name. He knows everything about you, and he loves you. The scripture says that the shepherd leads them out. Out of what? The sheepfold, the pen. And are you being led by the shepherd? A traveler tells a story of how he saw a shepherd leading his flock across a stream. The sheep, they didn't want to cross. And so what the shepherd did is he put one of the sheep in his arms and he crossed the stream with the sheep in his arms. When the mother of the lamb on the one side realized that her sheep was on the other side, she went across the stream as well, and soon the rest of the flock followed her. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. God will lead you if you let him, but we like to lead. We like to be in the driver's seat. Let the shepherd lead you. Follow the shepherd. And then, number four, Jesus says this, I am the door. Now, you may have a version that says, I am the gate. I am the door. I am the gate. It's the next of the I am's. As a reminder, there are seven I am's in the book of John. Here's what they are. First of all, in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. We've talked about that one. He says in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Here he says, I am the door. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to talk from John chapter 10, verse 11. He gives another I am. I am the good shepherd. In John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and life. In John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John chapter 15, I am the true vine. So what is the significance of this I am? What is the significance of I am the door? What does it mean? As I mentioned, we walk through all kinds of doors. So how does Jesus serve as a door? Now, I want you to know he is not just a literal door, all right? If you leave from, oh, Jesus is a door. He's not a door. Literal understanding. If they were in town, the shepherds of the day, then they would be in a stable with a strong door. However, when the warm season came, the shepherds would take the sheep out into the fields. I have another picture here to show you what the sheepfold will look like. So they're out in the open fields. This is a place for the sheep to be. And so what the shepherd would do, the shepherd would guide the sheep into the sheep pen, and then he would literally be the door. He would lay in front of the passageway there, assuming nothing's going to jump over the rock wall, of course. Some of you are like, oh, it's not very tall. Okay, but the shepherd would lay in front of the door and would not allow anything in, as well as not allow anything out. You can keep that up for just a couple of moments, Nick. Have you entered through the door of Jesus? This is where it breaks down for some people, maybe even you. Some of us have a challenge with this comment. Why do we have to go through Jesus? I want to get it my own way. And Jesus says, you need to enter through the door. He says, as one has said, he's given us plain instruction. Jesus is above creation. He's more than a door. He's given us understanding of who he is, and we have access to eternal life because we walk through the door of Jesus. In Luke chapter 15, there's told the parable of the lost sheep. Some of you know the parable of the lost sheep, but if you don't, he tells us about the shepherd who brought all the sheep in, and he has 99, and he's like, where's that lost sheep at? I've lost him. And he leaves the 99, and he goes search for the one. There was a familiar Hebrew phrase that says that through him we can go in and come out. The description was important for the Jews. It was a way of describing a life that is absolutely safe and secure. When a man can go in and out without fear, that means that his country is at peace. I think of our team going to Mexico, and in recent days, there's been some Mexico difficulties in the border, and we're assuming everything is going to go fine, and you can pray for us on that, but we just want to go across the border and get back. There are some who are thieves and robbers that try to get people to go astray and not trust in the Lord. Come next week because you're going to hear from John chapter 10, verse 10. Pastor Mark's going to be sharing about the thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ has come that you may have life abundantly. Here it says, I am the door. A couple of verses later, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And hear this quote. And what greater security has the church of God than that the Lord Jesus is between it and all its enemies? Hear this again. And just think of it. No, keep that up there. Oh, keep it up there for just a moment, please. Think of that when I read this quote again. And what greater security has the church of God than that the Lord Jesus is between it and all its enemies? Do you understand? If you have Jesus in your life, he is the door between all of the enemies, and he keeps you safe and secure in the pen. A church is not the door. A preacher is not the door. Baptism is not the door, nor communion. Tithing or service of some kind is not the door. A friend or a spouse is not the door. The door to get to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Some want more. Some can't handle the simplicity of it. But Jesus is the door. In our house, every night before we go to bed, I usually have the responsibility I've just taken upon myself of making sure the doors are shut. Maybe you do that at your house. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you're not too worried about if you have a lock on the door or not. Some of you are very concerned about it. You check it 2 or 3, 4 or 5 times. You have several locks. Why do I do that? I don't want to lose possessions that we might have, and I also want to rest well and know that, well, if somebody, my opinion, if somebody really wants to get in, they're going to get in. But I try to delay that a little bit. I try to secure our stuff. This is an old barn door from Aunt Lenore's barn. I'm not sure what it let in and out, how it worked exactly, but, well, I know how it worked. It opened and it closed, of course. Jesus is the door for you and for me. Jesus serves as the lock. We talk, when we give some jokes in the church, we talk of pearly gates. I don't know if there really is pearly gates, but the gatekeeper is Jesus, and he allows us to follow after him. Here's a song. My heaven is so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get around it. You got to come in at the door. Tell those children, yeah, tell them now, you got to come in at the door. Don't stand and whisper, just show them how. You got to come in at the door. My heaven is so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get around it. You got to come in at the door. Children of Israel, sing, shout, you got to come in at the door. You know the gates of heaven can't keep you out. You got to come in at the door. My heaven is so high you can't go over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get around it. You got to come in at the door. Now, if you're going to head for the promised land, you got to come in at the door. Just step right out, step right up and shake his hand. You got to come in at the door. My heaven is so high, so low, so wide. You got to come in at the door. Have you walked through the door? You are the one that has to walk through the door. I had a picture earlier. Nick, if you'd show that picture of Jesus standing at the door. Some of you have been in old churches. I was in a church one time in Lincoln, Kansas, where my dad served as pastor, and that picture right there was big on the wall. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would come in, I would come in and have sup. I'd sup with him. That word sup, that was always a weird word to me. But if you walk through the door of Jesus, Jesus says, I am the door. I'm assuming many of you have walked through that door. Thank you for doing that. But if you haven't walked through the door yet today, would you be willing to walk through the door of eternal life of Jesus? But I'm assuming that many of you have walked through the door, and so I just ask this question. What door is God wanting you to walk through this week? Well, I'm going to walk through the door of my house. Well, that's a good one. Well, I'm going to walk through the door of my car or my office. That's good. But I want you to think, and maybe just ask God, even right now in my closing prayer in just a couple of moments, or ask him all this week, God, is there a door that I need to walk through? Some of you might identify right now a door that you need to go and you need to walk through. Maybe a door of forgiveness. Maybe a door of opportunity. Maybe there's been a door that you've been standing on the outside of and you've been trying to push and you're like, but it's going to work, God. And God has been on the other side just gently saying, you know, why don't we just let that one go closed? Maybe God, for you this week, will just close a door. If he does, don't be upset at him. Know that it's in his wise providence. One day, all of us will walk through the door of physical death, walk with it into eternal life, into heaven. Gracious God, I want to thank you for every person that's in this room. I pray for every man and woman, every boy and girl, if they have not walked through the door of eternal life through you, Jesus, that they would personally walk through the door today. Oh God, help us not to miss that at all. You are the door. Help us to walk through that door if we haven't already and believe in you as Savior of the world. And when we walk through the door, Heavenly Father, help us to walk hand in hand with you. And then, God, I pray that you would be with a number of individuals within this room who are going to walk around this city, walk around somewhere else. I pray that you would open the doors and that we would walk through them. Your word says, the sheep hear his voice. May we hear your voice this week, and may we walk through those doors of opportunity. God, help us not to walk through any place that would not be where you would have us, and may we follow after you. God, thank you that we can know your voice, and thank you that you know our name. And God, all this week, may you speak to our hearts, and may you bless us. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.